Hi, Valeria. How have you been doing?
I've been quite busy, I guess, and I had this thought before our session today that I wanted to share with you. And I know we don't like to talk about things that are not helpful to the cause, but I was just thinking yesterday when the whole Elon Musk thing happened, and I'm not going to repeat what he said, but this is like probably the most prominent example of why Westerners should probably listen to Ukrainians. And I was just really thinking, like, if we sat him down and made him listen to all of our episodes, he never would have written, stupid things like that.
Well, I think the point of West-splaining is not to listen to Ukrainians in the first place. But yes, thank you so much for bringing that up. And also, everyone, we have our social media platforms on Instagram and Twitter. And yesterday we shared, like, you don't have to listen to all the 35 plus episodes we've done in the last 8 months, 6, 7 months. Well, I don't know. What time is it? Nevertheless, you can listen just to one that we did already this season on Crimea with a prominent Ukrainian journalist, Sergiy Musaev, explaining Crimea.
And we posted a couple of days ago that we were about to reach 100 patrons on Patreon. And we overdid that within the space of 24 hours. We now have more than 100 patrons on Patreon, which is amazing. So we're super grateful to everyone who has signed up to support the work that we do. We now have Tatiana with us, who's our amazing audience engagement specialist, who helps to make sure that the experience of our patrons is as good as it can be and that they're involved. So if you also want to be part of that, get involved, and we'll be happy to grow our family of people who support Ukrainian spaces. But Maxim, should we? I think Alice is back. Should we jump into? Well, first of all, what we do here. By now, I think a lot of you know that we gather here twice a week now. We used to do it more often, but essentially to elevate Ukrainian voices because we're just frustrated with constantly hearing Westerners westsplain to everyone about Ukraine, to Ukrainians and non-Ukrainians. So we just want to be able to show the world that there's a lot of amazing, diverse Ukrainian voices that know a lot of things on a scale and on a level much better than most people outside of Ukraine. So this is what we're here to do every week. And hopefully, we'll have more and more Ukrainians coming to you to talk about their areas of specialism and their experiences and to prove to everyone once again that, we have a lot to say about our own country.
Well, and Ukraine should be explained by Ukrainians first. But for the
Exactly.
season two, we're trying also an additional thing of doing these bridge episodes where we connect you all with not only fantastic Ukrainian voices, but also Ukrainian allies around the globe who explain why they feel passionately about what is happening in Ukraine. And we've already done a bunch of those bridge episodes, and we are uploading them as podcasts. So please do check them out. And again, you can find now Ukrainian Spaces on almost all possible podcast platforms. But when you listen, don't forget to rate and comment. This is extremely important to trigger algorithms and help us to trend there.
If your review is really great, we'll feature you at some point too, because we've been getting pretty cool feedback and we want to make sure that everyone else hears it as well. And it's not just Maxim, myself, and Tatiana sitting and reading it. So, should we? So,
Yes, we
Alice is
should.
here with us, and every single time we say this to our guests and to everyone who's here, but we have one big golden rule.
Our guests introducing
Yes,
themselves.
our
Can you hear
what
us?
is it? Yes, I can hear you. And hello to
Yeah.
everyone. Yes,
Thank you
can you
for
hear me?
joining us. Yep. Perfectly. So please go
Yes.
ahead and tell us who you are, where you come from, what you do, and maybe a bit how your life has changed since the genocide started. But in whatever order you feel comfortable.
Thank you. Fortunately, I come from Ukraine,
Yes, I'm Ukrainian and very, very proud of it. My name is Elis. I'm 27 and I was born in Kharkiv city, but my roots in Africa, in Ukraine also, and also in Belarus. So I'm mixed, and this is what I think the main thesis we're going to talking about. In the age of 21, after completing my graduation in my native city, Kharkiv, I decided that I want to relocate in Kyiv to propose my career and to continue my studying also, but in another field. And in 21 years old, I came to Kyiv and studied media art in the Kyiv Academy of Media Art, and worked in some creative projects, and it was really nice experience of living anywhere other than my hometown. So then I relocated to another city, maybe in the 3 years. I relocated to Odessa. It's a very famous city in Ukraine also. And I think maybe someone from our listeners been to Odessa. And I stayed in Odessa for another 3 years. I was working there also, and I had a lot of really interesting, meaningful connections there. I have one of my best friends that I have right now from Odessa, from those period of time. And then I lived there and returned to Kyiv again, and was in Kyiv until full-scale invasion.
So you met the full invasion in Kyiv at the time. Do you remember that day?
No, I was in February 24th, I was in Lviv. I moved to Lviv in 5 or 4 days before the full-scale war, full-scale invasion. And so from this time, from February 24th, or no, even February 20th, I live in the Lviv city. That's why I'm talking about this geography, that about my point, point that I visited and I was experienced live in Ukraine, because I think that I have first-hand knowledge of what it's like to live in the east, south, north, and even west of Ukraine, because currently I live in the west of Ukraine in Lviv, yes. And I just want to point out that for this almost 7 years, I live in every part of Ukraine, which gives me an understanding of the differences between these regions, and understanding of the psychology of Ukrainians, different Ukrainians. So in Odessa, in my native Kharkiv, in Kyiv, in Lviv, we have some differences, like in any other big country. And this knowledge has a big impact on me, on my self-identification and on my social initiative, on my social project.
Go
ahead.
No, I was just pointed out that it's a fantastic point that people do not actually understand, many people do not understand how huge Ukraine is. And that's why when you were describing how you went from eastern Ukraine to southern Ukraine to northern Ukraine to western Ukraine, despite that we all share a Ukrainian identity, the diversity of it, or just, you know, the differences are just fantastic. Sometimes you feel like, you know, in different at the point countries in terms of how it looks, how people speak and whatnot. But it's just beautiful. Yeah, I agree.
It's very beautiful, very beautiful. And for me, it's a very very interesting experience to live here in the west part of Ukraine after my almost 20 years old experience in the east of Ukraine when all people speak Russian, I think spoken maybe, Russian language. And I used this language all my life also because I was born there. And unfortunately, this point right now more speculative in the informational landscape, like language problem in Ukraine, yes, or some other problems between regions. But I have experience of living in the east of Ukraine, in the west of Ukraine, and I, person of color, and I understand that we have not any problems with it. We have not any problems with the culture differences or language differences. Yes, I prefer to speak right now in on Ukrainian language because this is my personal position, political one, of course. But I know some people who continue to speak Russian because they just don't know Ukrainian enough or any other reasons, and they can live here in the west of Ukraine when Ukrainian language environment, and they can live here and feel very comfortable. So that's why I talk so much about geography and regions, because I had this experience of living almost everywhere. And
can I ask you a quick follow-up on the language? I feel like this question, when you ask a Ukrainian or Ukrainians kind of talk between each other, it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. But unfortunately for many foreigners, this is kind of a question that we need to keep answering. So the question is very simple, like as a fellow Ukrainian from Eastern Ukraine as well, when we used to speak Russian as Ukrainians, didn't mean that we were identifying with being Russian.
You know, I think our history made a very huge impact on identification and identification thing, I don't know, like a process, you know. It's not a very basic identification when we have some territory and historical nations there that has own language, and we have this language for everyone, for one nation. And if you want to be inside, if you want to be in to this nation, you have to use this language. In Ukraine, we have totally another history background, and thanks to colonization of Russia, yes, we have this like cross-culture colonized background, when people can use their language and feel totally Ukrainian, but use another language And this is kind of strange for people who live in Germany or French or Italy, of course, but it's not strange when you have cross-culture, like, you understand me? I hope so.
Yeah, of course. No worries.
Yes, unfortunately, I'm not a very good speaker in English. And
so far, you're doing very great. Don't worry.
Thanks. We have, of course, I think right now we have to decide. We really have to decide. Of course, also right now we're living in the democracy, we're living in the liberal system, and we fight for it, a fight for democracy and liberty. And we have to decide, but also if someone decide that use Russian language because of some reason, unique reason, individual reasons, I think people have to have this decision, to have this chance to decide. This is very simple. If we're talking about democracy works like this. But when we're talking about historical perspective for the future, democracy here doesn't work well. And that's what we have to issue right now, we have to solve this issue right now in Ukraine together, how to split together democracy and our historical perspective.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't match with each other.
And I think as long as, you know, as you said, like, as long as there's an understanding of why certain people speak certain languages, like, I think we're moving in that direction now more than ever before. But also, I know that before you've said that, you know, national and cultural identity in Ukraine is in general on the rise. And I've definitely, mm-hmm. you know, felt that myself. You know, I've been way more interested in learning more about my own identity and about my Ukrainian identity, essentially. But I was wondering how that has translated into maybe your personal life as well, and your personal discovery of this cultural Ukrainian identity.
You know, I have a difficult situation because I'm mixed. I was raised in Kharkiv. And Kharkiv is this, like, multicultural city, can be sometimes in some neighborhoods, but not in my neighborhood. And I was maybe only one baby girl when I was like in the first years on the 20s. I was one baby girl of color in my neighborhood, and I had some maybe self problem with it. I had not any, I didn't feel abusing, or I didn't feel some, you know, some difficulties with my color in the Kharkiv. Of course, I had some situation in the school, but I think it is so a typical situation that can happen to every single children who has something different, who are just different. I don't know, you have root hair, you will have some problems maybe. You have, I don't know, some long legs, you will have some problems. So it can be some type of bullying or something like this, but from my personal experience, it wasn't so brutal or like abusing. I don't know. For me, it was just regular like life for a teenager. Okay, but when I started to like grow up and I started to ask myself very philosophical questions, like how can I don't know how what I want to represent to this world. When I travel, and I talking to someone and told that and said that I'm from Ukraine, and I listen back that question that how you can be Ukrainian? I like thought that you from Spain, for example, or from something in any country. How I want to act in this case, and like this, I just wanted to understand what I'm going to represent and how I want to raise my kids, to what I want to tell my to my kid, for example, about myself. Yes, that I am Ukrainian, or I am Afro-Ukrainian, or I'm Afro, or like Ukrainian Nigerian, because I have Africa. It's not my it's not country, of course. I have Nigerian roots, and Africa very different also. So for me, identification started not in the childhood, not with the social problems. It started in the ages, with a very meaningful and philosophical problems or sort of questions, and now also maybe like also almost 1 year, I can say that I'm Ukrainian. Unfortunately, thanks to the war.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's. You know, it's beautiful to hear that these processes are also not linear and straightforward, but they happen and change and change, you know, how we see ourselves as well in a way. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's powerful to like hear. And, you know, we featured many Ukrainian voices and many Ukrainian voices of color as well in the since we started this. And this is the experience that many of them share as well, that with such unfortunate circumstances on the background of what is happening to our country and what is happening to our people, many came to realization that this is the time for us to manifest who we really are. And this diversity of Ukrainianness, whether you're person of color, whether you of different ethnicity, or you come from different regions or have different geography, that does not mean anything. It does not, you know, does not have a definite say whether you're Ukrainian or not. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. And as a mixed person who, you know, passes as white, but still, it's extra moving for me as well, and I'm really grateful for you to share that. But I wanted to also ask you about the project that you recently launched, because one of the things why I adore you, apart from that you're a genuinely very nice a human being, that you're also sprung to action when tragedy hit our country and you started doing something. And something that, despite that you were having a time discovering yourself and manifesting yourself, you also decided to launch some initiatives that kind of manifest that and represent that. So can you talk more about the initiative that you and your friends launched recently that kind of is an extension of your journey at the moment and also pays tribute to Ukrainian diversity and people, Ukrainians of color as well?
You know what? If not about Ukrainians of colors only, not right. I think
it's about
diversity. It means that I want to explore the diversity. That means we have different ethnicity. Maybe you can just have only Ukrainian origins, only Ukrainian roots, and this is very, very cool. Or you can be like, I don't know, from Asia, from Africa, from South, and any other part of our world. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're people of color, a person of color or not. I just was surprised that society abroad, that like a lot of people abroad in Western countries, especially in Europe, and a lot of people in South America, Western America, they totally unfamiliar with our environment, our social ecosystem, yes, our society, just totally unfamiliar. And I think it's okay. It's it can be because we sometimes don't travel a lot, and not a lot of people was been to Ukraine and like have experience of being here. Okay, but I just wanted to wait, please. I want to formulate my thoughts.
No worries. I'm just pinning at the moment also the posts from the initiative Twitter, so please do check out. Specifically, you share so many cool stories of various Ukrainians. So yeah, and also I love how you intertwine it with digital art as well. This is super cool.
Digital art. Yes, I was created a lot of digital art before the war, full scale war, of course. And I try to do it like a part time hobby maybe right now. Just to develop my skills in it, because now I work totally in another field, in the humanitarian field. I work in the international NGO, and I think I have to do something creative, and that's what I wanted to combine in this project, Tosh Samist. And Tosh Samist, that's mean from Ukrainian identity. We have in Ukrainian language three, four words that can describe identity. It can be identifikacja, Tosh Samist, or samobutnost. And Tosh Samist for me, it's more rare, just more much rarer than another. That's why I decided to name project like this. And Tosh Samist is just social initiative about diversity in Ukraine. I formed it after I started, in the first, that's what I wanted to formulate. In the first month of full-scale war, maybe March, I started informational landscape, and I realized that people really can, people sometimes can really trust in the Nazism in Ukraine, for example, of course. And I don't know, I know that because of propaganda and a lot of money Russia spends to propaganda. But I don't know how some someone can recognize who never was in Ukraine, who never been to Ukraine, and who maybe not familiar with Ukrainian society. You just cannot to trust it. And
it's weird that people have like such strong belief that Ukrainians are Nazis, but in 99% those people never met a single Ukrainian before, but they're super sure that you're all Nazis by default.
Kremlin propaganda works hard.
But this propaganda also work very, very effectively on the Spanish language country, because they have a lot of channels there and spend a lot of money on this audience, people, Spanish language audience. And for me, it's disappointment, because these people from the South America, from the Spain, they to me, they are very close. I was in those countries a lot of time, and I don't think I can spread so effectively my manifestation and my information like Russia spreads disinformation, because I have not these budgets. But I hope that my information from my initiative will help to maybe some not large amount of people to understand more how progressive and how diverse the Ukrainian society, Ukrainians, and maybe we'll change something. But even do it much better than don't do. So any true information much better than disinformation, okay? And that's also was a reason. The narrative from Russian propaganda about Nazism in my country was one of the reasons why I launched my project. I remember that in the February and the March that I was started to talk about when I just read this guidelines about Nazism in Ukraine and denazification and other other goals of this genocide. I wasn't surprised because we here in Ukraine, we're very aware with the propaganda from Russia side, and we just we just wasn't shocked. But I understood that Western society sometimes can believe it, and For the first, second month, I was like, oh my God, these narratives make me crazy. I just hate it. But in Ukraine, we don't have any impact from it. So in Ukraine, I don't have to do anything to prove and resist to this propaganda. Yeah. But out Ukraine, we have to do something, and we have to maybe talk aloud about this disinformation problem. And this, what I notice, this logical problem, even logical mistake, that in Ukraine, some information can be accepted and can be can be without any impact, but for Western society, the same information works very very effectively. And that's just propaganda. Of course, it's just like this is science, but my project focused for not for Ukrainian. Course, because in Ukraine we have any problems with diversity, we understand it. Sometimes Ukrainians can be surprised for watching some Ukrainian speaking person of color. If I come to the village, far away from Lviv, and I was in the mountains, and I started to speak in Ukrainian, but people can ask me how I know Ukrainian so well. So, but it's not Nazism, and it's not a racism. This is just interesting. This is just impression, if I say correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's totally different thing, and we have to divide it.
Yeah.
But in our neighboring countries, sometimes, or Spanish language countries, people are unfamiliar with this phenomenon. I mean, diversity, diverse Ukrainians. They don't understand how it can exist. And yeah,
it's bizarre because you don't have to explain it to Ukrainians, but you spend maybe much more time explaining it to foreigners that, yeah, there are no blonde, blue eyes nation, this bizarre image of that many people paint
of a homogenous Ukrainian
who probably again have never seen a Ukrainian in their life. I don't even know blonde Ukrainians that much, probably like one or two in my entire life.
Could I possibly just cut in and ask you, Alice, if you think that how has the reception been of the work that you've been doing? Do you think, or maybe the work that you've been doing, and in general, do you think we've been, since the war started, a bit more successful at trying to bring that awareness to people in countries that are, not Ukraine, about the fact that Ukraine is not just the way that they imagine it, and Ukrainians are not just the way that they perceive us to be? Or do you think we're still at the same level of awareness that it was before?
No, I think we are another level of awareness, totally another level.
More people support, more people understand it now, right?
Can you just rephrase maybe your question?
Yeah, of course.
Because I just confused you, please. You asked me about people inside Ukraine, Ukrainian people?
Outside. So people outside of Ukraine, foreigners, do you think they understand better now what you were describing before about diversity in Ukraine, and in general about fighting some myths? Or do you think they're still the same as they were and don't believe what we tell them?
You know what? I just launch my project, and I collect interviews from people who I know and who I don't know, from different guests, heroes, and I collect the stuff. So I just have a roadmap. Okay, I just have a strategy. I want to build this awareness from interviewing, then I want to create digital events, events in the metaverse or another thing. We have a lot of metaverse, we have spatial, we have Decentraland, and so on. So I just want to combine the technologies some type of technology that's named Web3. Web3 technology, that's another level of technology. Technologies, because you, it's usual Web3 built on the blockchain. So all the Centralians and metaverses and DAOs built on the blockchain. And I think like participant of this thing, I think that people there are very open-minded and people there are very friendly to new formats. So I wanted to try just new format there. It's just, I suggest to, for you to do it also, because right now, for example, we talking with you in the Twitter spaces, and Twitter spaces also the new format for social initiative. Like in any technology, like I mean, not internet, because internet is also technologies, technology, and not make the site or landing. I mean, they use some functional, like social media function. You use it right now in the Twitter, and you spread information, and you can impact, and you can. Just voice and talk aloud about the things that you can you think that can change our world to the better. So the same way you can use another functional on another technology. So it's like the Central End, for example, you can meet there with people and have a conversation about some important and necessary topic for you.
Like Ukraine,
like, for example, Crypto Art Ukraine, a very mm-hmm. popular project between NFTs. They launched it in the Central Lands, they launched it meeting, like, NFT NFT gallery made, but they had a meeting there about Russian. I cannot explain it correctly, maybe, but it was about Russian impact on culture. On art in Ukraine, okay, and I know some projects, but not Ukrainian projects. That's like you can use it, and create and launch meetings there about something that can solve problems in real world, but you can do it in a digital world, and that's what.
Can I say how freaking amazing it is. I mean, you not only you try to spread the message in general and, you use traditional or, I feel like even Twitter spaces, it sounds like very old school compared to this booming world of Meta Universe and all these communities where there, almost no Ukrainian voices often present, or these conversations do not even exist. And now we Ukrainians are so freaking cool that they think so future forward that they also think about these spaces where we need to claim and we need to, manifest on ourselves. Alyssa, unfortunately, we're running out of time and we'll have to wrap up soon. But before we do, I wanted to bring Tatiana as well, part of our Ukrainian Spaces family. And she had a question. And also, Tatiana, before you do, there is also, some comment from the comment section, not from our Patreon, but still a very nice one that I wanted to quote. It's from a person with the handle Infoman. And he says, good initiative. It's helpful to listen to genuine Ukrainian voices and opinions. Thank you so much. Okay, Tatiana, go ahead.
Привіт, Алис.
Привіт.
Привіт. So
thank you for being on here. I've absolutely loved listening to you speak of all, not just your initiatives, but also how you kind of, you spread yourself very thin on all of the things that you're doing, which is amazing. And it's very creative. And I think my question is kind of going on from Valeria's question. Because when we were talking about that the world is more aware now, more than ever before, and that social media helps amplify information and art. And I see that, you know, you do a lot of work, not just activism, but you also do work with art and music and design. And I was just curious if you can answer the question about how you channel your identity, who you are as Ukrainian, in these creative ways. How do you channel that to keep people, not just for yourself, but how do you keep people interested with new stories, new art, new creative things? Because you're basically part of shaping the future of Ukraine in a very different way than we've seen before, you know, with all of the conflicts and issues that Ukraine has had in the past. I love seeing that you are one of the creators who is shaping the future. And what, how do you channel yourself in these different ways? How do you see yourself creatively as a Ukrainian?
You know, your answer very, like, I can respond you in the maybe different parts. One part is how I can create something by myself to spread awareness of my identification or my self-identity experience or my self-identity process. This is one part. Or another part, how I can to like a part of future Ukrainian society, how I can to create something for the our collective future and be a part of this collective process. So if we're talking about my personal process, not collective one, I doing right now that I, what I'm doing, my work in NGO, like a sociologist, and I'm doing initiative, like initiator, like ideologist, that combine in it a social problem, like social part and technology part. And I'm doing art also because I'm part-time artist, and I did NFT collection, but I didn't want to talk about it here, this space not about NFT, so I don't want to talk about NFT because NFT about the cryptocurrency and everything and money. I don't want to earn money here, but I mean that I am trying to impact in this field, in the technology field, Web3 and all the blockchain projects with my narrative, with my own experience, like artists, like just physical artists who have experience and painting some paints and you know, impact on someone with the idea of this pain. So I do the same, but in another way. So if I understood you correctly, if I understood
no, that was that was perfect. No. And I, do you know what? You actually responded in the way that I connected to that, and I think a lot of people will connect to that because, you know, behind the activist, you know, we always see the human being and the creative, you know. So I think it's important to always share that, you know, behind the work is the person who also kind of channels things for themselves. So I love the fact that you said, like, I'm not talking about NFTs. But at the same time, this is your work as well, and it's important to you. And I think like the combination of both sides makes you like part of the future, makes you an impactful person that keeps Ukraine in the lens, you know, and I think it's really important. And, you know, if I can just pull that question a little bit further, one of the things that we always ask on Ukrainian Spaces, one of the most important things, like I was saying, is the human being behind the movement, behind the activism, behind the creativity. So we all wanted to ask you, Alice, what does it mean for you to be Ukrainian? It's not an easy answer. Everybody has a different answer, but what does it feel to you? What does it mean for you to be Ukrainian?
I can respond to your very simple way that I feel okay without any some very very smart and very philosophical things. For me to be Ukrainian, that I feel it for last month, is for me to be Ukrainian, just be ready for everything and be ready to be strong enough to move forward. That's it.
I love all the time. I love the shortest replies, although every reply is so valuable. But this is also super powerful. Thank you so much, Alice. Well, I have to unfortunately wrap up, but it's been such a joy to have you on Ukrainian Spaces, and also an honor. And I will, you know, channel what Tatiana and Valeria said. It's refreshing to see Ukrainians not only resisting, I mean, this genocide being in Ukraine, but also being forward thinking, future thinking, and trying to spread the awareness about themselves, amplify their own voices, but also build up on that into something larger, meaningful, that shows the rest of the world that Ukrainians and being Ukrainian is more of a vision. And it's a vision of future, that's for sure. So thank you so much once again for joining us today and finding the time to share your story, your voice, and your work with us as well, and with Ukrainian Spaces community.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you and talk to our listeners. I really appreciate it. And yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And for everyone who's listening to us, also don't forget to follow Alice and the project that Maxim pinned to the top of Ukrainian Spaces to keep following what she does. And we wish you all the best with, we all have a long road ahead of us of trying to do something to help people back home in Ukraine and outside of Ukraine. So best of luck. And I'm really grateful for you for coming and talking to us today.
Yeah, and thank you so much for everyone who's listening. If you're listening not as a live broadcast, but already as a podcast episode, and you get to this point, please leave comment and rate this episode. That's extremely important. And also a reminder, if you love this, but you're not part of our Patreon family, our family of Ukrainian Spaces sponsors, please do check out links in the description of this episode and consider joining us and our sponsors. Make sure that the Ukrainian Spaces exists. This is 100% independent listener-supported initiative to amplify Ukrainian voices and decolonize Ukraine conversations. And our sponsors get not only cool bonus content and stuff on Patreon page, but most importantly, you also get a front row seat to ask your own questions, to engage with our guests. That's an exclusive right for our sponsors and our Patreon family. I think that's it. Apart from that, also please spread the word and use the hashtag Ukrainian Spaces to tell more people about us. Westsplaining is still a major thing, and that's our job to make sure that this does not happen anymore. Yeah, this is all. Apart from one thing, my favorite one is Slava Ukraini.
Hello, Slava. See you next time.
Hello, Slava.
Love you guys. Bye.